scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
It's literally a clown car of insanity up at Halas Hall. You got two really mediocre quarterbacks. You haven't upgraded your offensive line. I mean, wow. Literally. I mean, I'm stunned. And I shouldn't be. I give them too much credit that they must have another plan. Literally. Like, and I think Sylvie just put it best on Twitter. This is the most united he's ever seen Bears fans. We're all united in, we finally have been hit in the face with a brick 5,500 times, and we went, okay, I keep getting hit in the face, that's it. I mean, literally. If you buy the newest throwback jersey, the newest hat, the newest sweatshirt, shame on you. All you're doing is putting more money in those people's pockets. That's all you're doing. Speak with your pocketbook. Don't buy the hat. Don't buy the shirt. Don't buy any of it. Don't tag them in social media. Ignore them. Watch the games. That's your entertainment. Fine. Do not give them any of your money. Don't. Let them wake up and go, what in the hell have we done? We killed the golden goose. That's the only way you're going to make noise. The only way. They're a joke. They are literally a joke of a franchise. Dan Weider, Chicago Tribune, joins us now. We'll get back to your calls as well. Daniel, good morning. I don't know what to say, Dan. Take it away.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hi, Hoodie. How are you?
I'm good, guys, thanks. Let's talk about Andy Dalton. I know what to say. Let's talk about this. What is the difference? What is the difference between Nick Foles and Andy Dalton?
Just that they've lost complete faith in Nick Foles after what they experienced last year with him, and so they decided they wanted to go in a different direction and make Andy Dalton their starter. I understand the frustration. I understand levels of the disappointment that Bears fans are feeling today. But my question, and I wrote this in my column for today, is what were you expecting? We established this long ago that this franchise is wayward, that this franchise is in big, big trouble with their cap space and their current roster construction and their current dynamics. And so yesterday I was a little bit taken aback by how much outrage mushroomed up here, because anyone that was living in reality knew that this was exactly the type of thing that was going to happen in mid-March for this team that's wayward and out of sorts.
But when you get caught up in a media cycle where you continue to hear the names of Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, Bears fans just are tired of the same old, Dan. You understand that. From a fan standpoint, when you're sitting in the stands or you're rooting for your favorite team, you want better, especially from a franchise that's been so bad at the quarterback position for generations. And so this has bubbled to the surface where it's like, no matter who was in that spot, Andy Dalton or whoever that's out there as far as free agency in the quarterback spot, you knew that Bears fans would be pissed about it, and rightfully so. That's what big markets do.
No doubt. And listen, honey, I gave an analogy last week on Waddle and Sylvia. I've got a different one today. If you sign yourself up for a colonoscopy and come out of it feeling like you didn't get a massage, that's on you, right? You signed up for a colonoscopy, and it's not going to be the experience that makes you feel calm and relaxed. No, you got to drink that liquid. You got to go through the cleansing process the night before. You got to go in and get the anesthesia. You got to get your colon, scoped, and then you come out feeling a little bit woozy, a little bit violated, a little bit angry, and that's the experience. I mean, that's what you signed up for. When I was a teenager starting journalism school at the University of Illinois, one of the first lessons they teach you is that dog bites man is not a headline, right? And this is what this is. This is dog bites man. This is what happened. A wayward franchise that, oh, by the way, hasn't had three consecutive winning seasons since Ronald Reagan was president, is still a little bit directionless and wayward and trying to find a quarterback answer with various solutions at the ready. And so this is what everyone knew was going to happen in January. We all emerged from that press conference after the playoff loss, 2 days after the playoff loss, and said, whoa, you know, George and Ted clearly don't get how wayward this franchise is. We don't truly trust Ryan and Matt to get this right. And now that they're trying to get it right and they're doing everything they can within their power to get it right, and yet some options aren't available to them, people are losing their mind. The Russell Wilson thing, if you got caught up in the media cycle, you were following the wrong media people, right? Like, the people that were grounded in reality told you that the Seahawks were not going to trade Russell Wilson unless something crazy happened. And so short of the Bears driving to Russell Wilson's house, you know, jumping out of a van and kidnapping him, Russell Wilson was not coming to Chicago. And so if you got caught up in some of the media cycle of that, I don't know what to tell you other than to try to remember the people that told you Russell Wilson was going to be a Bear and some of those that told you he wasn't.
So it's the biggest team in town. You got Cup fans, you got Sox fans, you got hockey fans that root for the Blackhawks. They're not in the majority, but they're vocal. You got Bulls fans. This is the one team that galvanizes everybody. Dan, mm-hmm. What is it going to take for them to finally wake up and make massive change? And not just because it's Ted and George and Scott Hagel hiring the next guy. Ryan might have had a very good resume. It's the whole process of how they make decisions up there. What will it take? Will it take fans not going? Will it take fans not buying their memorabilia and shirts and hoodies and all that other stuff? Like, what is it truly going to take? Or are everybody just going to get spoon-fed this pile of crap every single year? Oh, well, that's our Bears.
How long has that been happening?
I feel like, and Sylvie tweeted this, I feel like yesterday was more of a galvanizing moment than I've seen in a while.
Well, I I'm happy to have people sort of pulling back their hope, right, and seeing with their eyes, right, and saying, okay, this is worse than I thought, because this has been going on for generations now. Again, the Reagan administration, the last time they won, that they had a winning record 3 consecutive seasons. That is insane for a charter franchise in the NFL, and this is just the essence of the experience. And so I guess what I'm taken aback by is the surprise. I think I tweeted it yesterday that, you know, Bears fans continue to go to the stove, touch the stove, and then they're surprised when it hurts and they yelp and they're like, what just happened? Well, you just touched the hot stove again, right? So, like, this is the essence. I don't know what it's going to take to create change up there. We thought that we had a bar for the 2020 season that the Bears would have to clear. George and Ted told you, coming out of that massively disappointing 2019 season, that they wanted certain things to be solved and certain direction to be shown, and yet they lost more games in 2020 than they did in 2019. And just because they backed into the playoffs, they thought progress was made. Progress wasn't made, and progress still isn't being made. And the Bears are going to lose 10 or 11 games under their current construct next year. That's just reality if you look at this through real eyes. I mean, if you're connecting the dots, you understand that they're going to do something in April to add a quarterback to this roster, whether that's on day one of the draft, whether it's on day two of the draft. I would be stunned if we didn't come on a draft weekend talking about a young rookie quarterback and what the Bears hope he can be and what we think that hope is rooted in, right? That's going to happen. And so now you just have to be patient for that and understand that, yes, we've already established that they are wayward. We've already established that they don't have the greatest top-down eyes to create vision and direction and can sustain success. And so I hope we got out of the cycle of consistently being shocked and surprised and outraged by moves like this, because this is what they have told you for years is the essence of the Chicago Bears experience.
Dan Wiederer with us on the Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Okay, so the other news is about Jermaine Ifedi. Now, one of the storylines that we've talked about a lot is trying to fix this offensive line. So Jermaine Ifedi is back with the Bears. So what happens next as far as trying to help this offensive line?
Yeah, you're going to have a second and third wave of free agency in the next 2 weeks, where we've established that there is going to be a discount shelf this year that's unlike discount shelves of years past because of all of the cap casualties and the things that have happened around the league. There are going to be guys that you can get at a bargain in the weeks to come. And so they have to be very, very aggressive at exploring those discount shelves. They have the draft to address the position. They felt like over the last 6 weeks of the season that they got stability in that offensive line, when they had Sam Mustafa at center, when they had Alex Bars and Cody Whitehair playing guard, when they had Ifedi move out to tackle, and he obviously had Charles Leno on the other side. James Daniels will be returning healthy. And so their worries about the offensive line are less today than they were in mid-October when things were completely off the rails. Mm-hmm. Listen, they still need to find talent and depth there to upgrade that. And they still have time and access to things that will help them upgrade that. But anyone that was going down the Trent Williams path, look, Trent Williams was just given a massive, massive contract that the Bears were never going to be able to afford, ever, ever. And so, again, if you fell into that trap, you know, then you weren't reading sort of what the resources were available to them, and you were setting yourself up to be disappointed. And that, I guess that's my overall moral of this story, is just stop setting yourself up to be disappointed, and you won't be disappointed.
So you and I had this, like, I'm literally, I get paid to talk, and I'm literally freaking dumbfounded that we get led down this path of, we're going to get that guy, we're trying to get that guy, and they're going to swing big on this.
But who led you down that path, and why did you follow them? That's my question.
You led us down that path.
I did?
Yeah, you and your ilk, you did that.
Correct.
Show me anywhere where I led you down the path of believing that Russell Wilson was going to be a Chicago Bear.
Hey.
If Russell Wilson, as I tweeted last night, if he didn't wink across the bar, you know, 20 days ago, the discussion in the city would be entirely different. But he winked across the bar, and Bears fans went out and started making honeymoon plans. That's not how it works. And you just have to go back and look at these things, and you have to, Cap, I've told you this 1,000 times in our relationship together. You have to know when to pump the brakes and when to hit the gas. And you're constantly hitting the gas, and you're getting T-boned, and you're going, holy crap, why did I get T-boned just now?
I actually, this offseason, while I thought, Lewis Riddick said, trust me, there's Kyle Long, there's something big coming. Like, there were people who have inside intel. Like,
you think Kyle Long had inside information to what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were going to do? Get out of here.
Lewis Riddick did. And he said last night, he said, I got sources. I got friends. I got a telephone. I know who I'm talking to, and I'm not going to out them. He and Matt are best of friends. And
he
truly believed they were getting Russell Wilson. Truly believed it.
Well, you know what? We're never going to fall for the banana to tailpipe trick again with Lewis Riddick and the Bears.
Right.
He loves Matt. I don't know if he loves the organization, but he loves Matt. But when we hear Lewis talk about the Bears, I'm turning it off. I'm just telling you, because he loves the organization. He wants best with the organization, but Ryan Pace and Lewis are not on the same page, right?
No.
Well, but listen, they are on the same page in this regard, because to be fair to the Bears, Ryan and Matt, when the word leaked out that Russell Wilson had the Bears on his very, very short list, they went into absolute full court press mode, right? And they went more hyper-aggressive than you could absolutely go as an NFL franchise to say, how can we make this happen, and what do we have to do to go convince the Seahawks to send him to us? And the Seahawks, in the end, said, look, Russell Wilson's been here since he started his career. He takes us to the playoffs every single year. He's won us a Super Bowl. He's took us to another Super Bowl. The team that is offering us the world to bring him to their franchise is a case study in what happens when you have to reboot the quarterback position and how difficult it is to reboot. So why the heck would some icy, frosty relationship tension cause us to give away a guy that has created a decade's worth of success for us? And so they sat down behind closed doors and said, doesn't make sense right now to get rid of Russell Wilson. We don't want to take a $39 million cap hit and get rid of one of our best players and one of the best players in franchise history. So we're just going to try to let this thing settle down and take Russell Wilson to the starting gate for the 2021 season.
All right. Can you hang on with us?
1,000%.
All right. We'll come right back more with Dan Wiederer, because I've got a very interesting question I want a direct answer to. Dan will provide that next.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Dan Wiederer with us from the Chicago Tribune. And our family here at ESPN 1000, we're talking about the insanity that is the Chicago Bears. Took a
insanity
big swing to try and get Russell Wilson. You heard the Ian Rapoport report this morning that they had a clandestine meeting in Fargo, North Dakota. Ryan and John Schneider. Ryan pitching. Tell me what it's going to take. We'll get it done. And John finally getting back to him a day later, yesterday morning, was the official. All right, we thought about it. We slept on it. And we're not going to do it.
Hey, Dan, could you imagine those two sitting down? You got Ryan Pace and Schneider at some diner in Fargo, some greasy spoon. And Ryan said, can I get another cup of coffee? And the lady says, oh, yeah, betcha. You could just see it, right?
I mean, let's just be very clear about this meeting. I definitely can see it. They were attending a pro day for North Dakota State, right? So it's not like they just said, hey, what's a weird location that we can meet up in and do some top secret meeting to talk about Russell Wilson. They were both doing other work at North Dakota State Pro Day and then went out and found a place to meet privately and have discussions on this. And then eventually John Schneider, you know, took the pitch that the Bears had back to his organization, and they talked about it. And as Cap said, ultimately decided, no thanks, we're good.
You know, you journalists just don't have any imagination. Just the facts, ma'am. Don't you understand the imagery of the moose head at the greasy spoon? Haven't you seen Fargo and FX? That's a better story than what you just laid out. I like the idea that they were sharing hotcakes together and arguing over the maple syrup. And
yeah,
you,
that's right. Pancake-eating MF-er.
Somebody wanted blueberry syrup. Somebody wanted strawberry syrup. It got a little bit testy. And then John Schneider threw the bill at Ryan and said, I'm out of here. And that's how it ended.
That's right. See, isn't that better?
It's way better. It's way better.
So I wanted to get back into this because there are a lot of people, Dan, that their heart is caught up in this. Like, you're a journalist, and you could sit there and write the stories and do as good a job as you do. You're awesome on the beat. But there's a lot of people that they grew up on this. It courses through their veins.
Yep.
For many people, they go to work, and their few expendable dollars go to, hey, I want that new sweatshirt. Hey, I want that throwback jersey with Khalil Mack. Hey, I got to pay for my tickets, or let's get a new TV for the season. Like, this is their life, man. They get really excited. What is it going to take for the incompetent people that work at Halas Hall to wake up and go, okay, this madness is over. Done. Go get me a football president. Let's go get somebody in here who can make things happen, and let's rebuild this thing the right way, because it is a freaking train wreck.
And it has been for a long, long time. I get it, Cap. We had the discussion 3 years ago when you thought Mitch was going to be in the MVP contention and was going to be the starter here for 10 years and was going to set every single passing record that the Chicago Bears have ever had in their record books. And I told you, don't let your heart get carried away on you, right? You have to be able to see with your eyes sometimes. And so I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know. I've covered this organization for 8 years. This will be my ninth season coming up in 2021. I've been behind the curtain long enough to know that there is a complacency that percolates through the organization as a whole, that they don't necessarily understand where the bar needs to be set. I've talked to you guys before on the show that they prioritize personality over production sometimes, and their personnel decisions, and that sets them off course at times, and it's just the nature of who they are and what they are after, and they don't understand on an everyday basis, again, that this is a cutthroat industry, and that if you want to be 8-8, the path to 8-8 is easy to get to. The path from 8-8 to the Super Bowl, that's one of the steepest climbs that you will ever have to make, and you have to realize just how many pieces have to be in place and sturdy for that to happen, and they don't realize that there on a regular basis. And here we are, off an 8-8 season, followed by an 8-8 season, followed by a lopsided playoff loss, followed by an offseason that's not meeting anyone's expectations. And so, listen, guys, if you're reading the tea leaves, the direction of 2021 isn't all that promising. And so I wouldn't be signing up for season tickets and running out to Dino's and Glenview for all the Bears gear you can get, and just understand what ride you've chosen to board.
So Dan, when we take a look at the quarterback spot, you mentioned the possibility of the Bears drafting a quarterback. This is always a talking point to Ryan Pace. He speaks so infrequently, but so you got to get your questions in when you can. So what is the likelihood that the Bears do draft a quarterback now that they have Foles in place along with Andy Dalton?
Hi. I think they have no choice. I mean, I really do think that you have to figure out, first you have to go through your process, right? And you have to do your due diligence on 15 quarterbacks in this draft and say, we love these six, right? We love these guys. And here's where we can get each guy, right? And how high we have to climb to get this guy, how high we have to climb to get this guy. You have to be able to position yourself for multiple options as well. And so, you know, I think they will make every effort to draft a quarterback on night one of the draft. I think they will also do a ton of homework to understand that if the draft board takes things in a different direction, again, you don't just get to go into the store and pick your quarterback. You have to wait to see what other teams are doing as well that affects that. They're going to have to be ready to have day two options as well. And they will tell you, the folks at LSU will tell you, everybody here in Chicago has been enamored for 3 weeks with the idea of Russell Wilson being a Chicago Bear. Russell Wilson was drafted in round three. And so you can find those guys beyond night one. You just have to do a lot of homework. You have to be very confident in your homework, and you have to make sure that you walk out of that week under the draft with an answer. Because, look, no one at Hallis Hall is going to, and they better not, try to sell you that they are set and established at the quarterback position. That would be an outrageous sell the next time that Ryan and Matt and Andy Dalton speak to us. And so certainly the draft is the next step.
And by the way, if you think you did not do anything to stoke the fires, you need to go back to bed, get back up, and go, all right, he's right. You were the guy tweeting pictures of Russell Wilson on a plane with a plane logo.
Cap, are you new to my Twitter following? I told my audience that I was making a mockery for 3 days. I was posting quotes with bulging eye emojis, making fun of all the people that were getting caught up in this thing. That was an entire tongue-in-cheek tweet.
I'm just
like
telling
you,
there are a lot of people out there that didn't take it that way.
Okay, well, then those people are once again naive and foolish, because I think I've established who I am long enough and well enough for people who get the bit to understand what that bit was.
Just telling you, man, that's not how everybody takes it.
Okay, well, then people need to start figuring out how they take things.
And when they hear Lewis Riddick on there going, big move coming, and they hear, whether he has any insight or not, when they hear Kyle Long go, Bears fans, congrats, you deserve it, big move is about to happen, and they hear it from Rappaport and Orlovsky, and they hear it from people they believe have inside intel, whether they do or don't, you got to understand, man, that's people's emotions and their heart there.
That's fine. I can answer for myself. I can't answer for all those other people. I can answer for myself, Kev. That's all I can do on this program. And I try to give it to you straight. I feel like for 3+ years, we've had very educational conversations on this show. For me to try to get folks to see from ground level what I see, you're not always going to agree with me. You're not always going to believe in the things I tell you. But I'm going to be very, very honest and straightforward and tell you what I know. And more often than not, hopefully, It gives you a balanced, fair perspective of the team you covered that is not driven by heart. Again, I go back to that August 2018 conversation or 2019 conversation where you let your heart carry you to places that it shouldn't carry you, and then you're disappointed, and you're like, wow, man, why am I so disappointed? Well, because you let your heart get in the way.
Okay. Here's the other thing I want to ask you. I asked Hoodie this. Okay, I truly wake up today going, they can't be this incompetent. Nope. Yes, they can. Why? Absolutely, they can. So if they are truly as incompetent as we all think up there, is there any chance Mitchell Trubisky goes somewhere else with competent coaching, San Francisco or New England or Pittsburgh or anywhere else that he could possibly sign, and we wake up 3 years from now and go, oh, my God, he's actually a pretty good quarterback. I'm not saying he's Mahomes. I'm not saying he's Watson. But he's actually really pretty good that we were that incompetent we couldn't develop him.
Let me ask you this. Where is Mitch Trubisky signed to play?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's available.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's been a run on quarterbacks these last few days. Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? There's been guys that have signed. Mitch has not been exactly been in high demand out of the gates. He's going to go somewhere. He's going to be able to compete for a job. He may be a backup for a little while. Who knows what the rest of his career looks like. But if you're still sort of caught in this fantasy world that he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler.
Dan, I'm not. I'm simply asking you a question. Is there a chance that they are so incompetent in Lake Forest that he could actually go somewhere with competent coaching and be a decent player? That's it.
Yeah. There's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance. But I don't know what your definition of competent is, and I don't want to get trapped down this rabbit hole again of saying, The Bears never gave Trubisky a fair chance. He was never given the opportunity to show that he was a franchise quarterback. He had 4 years and 52 starts. We saw the results. Here we are. They're moving on. Getting worked up about the Mitch Trubisky story again, it's just misplaced energy. That boat sailed. It's gone. It's out of the station, and we'll watch from afar what he does from here.
Dan, lastly, when it comes to the Bears' defense, you know, the storyline could be written again this upcoming season that, you know, they're spinning their wheels with Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, that the defense, again, will be squandered. I thought the Bears' defense was a B-plus, maybe B-minus at times. Is there anything they're going to do in free agency as far as to bolster their defense?
Yeah, I mean, look, like you have to figure out who your other safety beside Eddie Jackson is going to be. You obviously brought Mario Edwards back in a 3-year extension to kind of give you that depth on the defensive line. I think you're fair in using that B-minus grade for a year ago. I think that you have to hope that the promotion of Sean Desai helps some things schematically that allows you to get more of those splash plays, the sacks and the turnovers. I don't expect any sort of big splash moves. Again, the Bears came into free agency. They started the week, you know, needing to clear $20 million plus of cap room just to get under the cap for 3 o'clock today. And so they don't have the resources to go out and sign stars right now. It's just going to be value signings of veterans that you can plug into places. And so I'd expect them to obviously try to find some extra depth for their defense. But, you know, 1 through 11, their starters are pretty solid on that side of the ball. And so you don't feel the desperation there that you do on offense. And the desperation on offense it's huge, and it hasn't changed yesterday. I think I saw somebody tweeted out that the Bears' odds to win the Super Bowl actually went from 40-1 to 50-1 after the Dalton signing. And so their Super Bowl hopes actually got worse with Andy Dalton signing here.
Wow.
And so that tells you where the offensive desperation is. They just have to find ways to do it. But I think you have to be ready for this, like, this bargain wave of signings that's going to start to occur, you know, Sunday, late Saturday, Monday, into next week, where you're going to think free agency is over, but then there's going to be a flood of, oh, they added this guy, oh, they added that guy, and it's going to be a lot of those kinds of additions in the next 10 days or so.
I'm just telling you, they have to cut Jimmy Graham now. They were keeping him because he's, you know, really tight with Russell Wilson. That's $7 million you get off your cap.
Hey, man, he had the walk-off touchdown in a loss.
And look, they believe in Cole Kmet. They believe in Darnell Mooney. And, like, if you're going to get this thing turned around, it's got to be those homegrown draft picks that showed promise as a rookie that then have to turn that promise into, you know, production for 3, 4, 5 years. And so they have to hope that what they believe they have in those guys is actually true. And, you know, guys, one of the biggest problems of this entire organization is they're constantly correcting mistakes, right? It's just, you're signing Jimmy Graham because Trey Burton and Deion Sims didn't work out. You're signing Robert Quinn because you couldn't unlock the full potential of Leonard Floyd. You're back in the quarterback mix because you traded up to draft Mitch Trubisky and he wasn't the answer. At some point, you have to stop correcting mistakes and just lock guys in to roles for 5 or 6 years and then be able to fill in around them. And so that's the challenge here, and it's a mighty challenge. And guys, once again, we've established the Bears are wayward. They're in big, big trouble. Nothing that happened yesterday changed that. Nothing that happens over the next month and a half will change that. They have a long, long way to go. And let's just stay rooted in that zone, and you won't feel this debilitating outrage that you feel this morning, Cap.
Have a good day, man.
All right, fellas, be good.
Thank you, Dan.
There he is, Dan Wiederer. All right, phone lines open. Your turn to vent. 312-332-3776. I totally disagree with Dan that the media... That Russell Wilson thing was real, man. That was no fantasy. They didn't get it done, but there was absolute fire there, and they tried. And there were a lot of insiders who said they tried hard. There were discussions. It was no fantasy. It just didn't happen. And, of course, it's the Bears. The phone line's open, 312-332-3776, plus owner George responds. Next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Hi again. Welcome to Letters with George. I'm your favorite owner, George, and I just want you to know that Ryan and Matt are football guys. And I just want you to know that I'm very excited about what the guys are doing in the front office as they've signed our kicker and our punter. And gee willikers, we've got a new quarterback in place in Andy Dalton. Well, we've got so many great Bears fans that follow the team from all across the state and all across the country and around the world. I've got a letter here. This one is from Maureen from Bourbonnais. It says, "Dear George, I'm so sick of your Please sell the team." Signed, Maureen from Bourbonnais. Well, dear Maureen, I will not sell the team. Signed, George. Go Bears. So, you fold that up in an envelope, put a stamp on it, and send it to the courier. Well, that's all. Thanks so much. Go Bears!
Thank you, George. Appreciate that. You know, one other point back to our friend Dan Wiederer.
Sure.
When he said it was, what was the words he used? It was never reality. Why did you anybody believe it? Because his freaking agent came out and said he'll consider one of four teams.
That is correct.
And the Bears were one of them. That's his agent. Come on, Dan, you're better than that.
Yes.
This is agent.
The Bears were on the list, one of four teams.
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
And then Dallas re-signed Dak Prescott for $1 billion. Derek Carr, they said, Mike Mayock came out publicly and said, we're working on an extension. That's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting anybody. New Orleans was $80 million over the cap. Mm-hmm. They weren't getting Russell Wilson. That left our Bears. Yes, that was his agent saying that.
Yes.
There was fire here. They just didn't get it done.
Yes.
But to think it was a pipe dream or that it was not grounded in reality, that's false.
I guess from Dan's standpoint, I guess he's just trying to tell everybody that it's the Bears. What do you expect? Well, what I expect is the best. That's what I expect.
Right.
I know I haven't gotten the best in a long time, but I expect the best. It's not even about market size or me being a Bears fan and thinking I'm looking my nose down at any team in the National Football League because I can't. The point is, though, is that when you're in this situation, you want to be better than mediocre. But George and Ted sees that the Bears have been in the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, and that's good enough, Cap. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. I still stand by, even before we get to the draft, in this NFL, in this conference of the Bears or in the NFC, I think they're a playoff team, sure. But what does that really mean? What does it really mean? It's not. See, they got to the playoffs with bad quarterback play last year. So, of course, they can get it done this year, but that's not really the story. The story is that the Bears took these big swings and they failed. It smells like the Bulls. Well, we tried for LeBron. We tried to be able to bring in big fish. It just wouldn't come. Well, man, you've got to be able to swing harder. Whatever it takes, you got to fix that position. This is, again, a Band-Aid on the situation. This is not the gauze pad that I want. I need you to get off the Band-Aids because the Band-Aids come off easily. This is a one-year deal. And as you mentioned, up to $13 million in incentives for a guy that can't get out of his own way. That's bad.
Explain to me, Meller, last year at this time, you would have had to take on Andy Dalton's deal. So nobody wanted that, so he got released. He sat there in the open market. Your offensive coordinator was his offensive coordinator. And you decided, no, we're going to give up the fourth round pick and guarantee $24 million to Nick Foles. When Andy Dalton got 1 year, $3 million. He went 6-5. His numbers weren't great. He had a serious concussion that knocked him out for a few weeks. So they had to play Gilbert Gottfried and who's the other guy?
Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci, and what was the other guy? Garen Gil, whatever.
Not Gilbert Gottfried.
You know what I mean.
Not Gilbert Gottfried.
You know what I mean.
Gilbert. Let's call him Gilbert. His last name's Gilbert.
Good to see you. Hello.
Pretty much that's what they had. And then Andy Dalton came back. They didn't make the playoffs, and he was just very pedestrian. Can you explain to me what he did to justify going from $3 million to $10 million-plus incentives. There had to have been other offers, right? Like, were there other teams kicking his door down?
No, of course not. So I mean, maybe the Texans had some interest because they signed Tyrod Taylor to a similar deal.
$12.5 million.
It's a similar deal. Like, chances are that Andy Dalton will probably cash in on most of those incentives if he's the starter. So he's going to make $13 million to be the Bears' starting quarterback. I don't know. No, I can't explain it to you, Cap, because you know why? The Bears are telling on themselves. They're telling you that they are inept. The fact that, look, a lot of people were critical of Ryan Pace for making the trade for Nick Foles last year because a lot of similar quarterbacks sat on the market who you didn't have to give up a draft pick for, who would probably have cost you less money, less guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. And he went and traded for Nick Foles because he knew Matt Nagy's system. A year later, they're going out for Andy Dalton because Nick Foles apparently wasn't good enough. I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't make sense to have both Dalton and Foles on your roster because they're both similar players.
They're both and a plaid shirt. You got enough of them.
Look, Dan Weider says, you know, the Bears are going to draft a quarterback. A lot of people are convinced the Bears are going to draft the quarterback. Then that just reinforces how bad a waste of resources this is.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to go draft a quarterback as well? Are you going to draft a quarterback highly? Are you going to use your first or second round pick on a quarterback? When you've got Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, teams don't carry three quarterbacks anymore. They just don't. Like, you don't have two veteran quarterbacks and then a guy to develop. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to carry a third quarterback, carry Gilbert Gottfried. For God's sakes, get him.
Tyler Bray is your classic third quarterback on your roster. Not a guy who you drafted highly.
What about a comedian like Gilbert Gottfried? I can't find someone for a platonic relationship, much less someone that wants to see me naked.
The phone lines are open. That's where we're headed. We're going to roll through these calls next.
Take that!
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, back to the phones we go because every line is locked and loaded. Look what you've done.
Andy Dalton, Chicago.
Yeah.
He's here.
Get ready. Let's go to Josh. He's next from Highland Park. Hey, Josh, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, guys. Love your show. First time caller.
Appreciate you.
These are obviously opinions. The Russell Wilson thing was always a pipe dream. The Bears had nothing to give them. I'm originally from Philadelphia, so I have an affinity for Nick Foles, and you guys will probably rip me. But if you put Russell Wilson in those same games that Nick Foles played in last year, he'd be running for his life as well. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, as an Eagles fan, I can understand why you'd have that affinity for Nick Foles.
Right.
He's your guy.
Yeah.
I get it.
I love Miguel Montero. He had a grand slam in the NLCS. I don't want him as my all-time catcher.
I get it.
He had a huge grand slam. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I get it. So from his standpoint, I get it, because he didn't know when he's going to see another Eagles Super Bowl championship. But he got it.
He did.
So I get it. But from this standpoint, we see a guy that's the twilight of his career. Foles, to me, is a career backup. He is a quarterback reliever.
That's it.
That's what he is.
That's it. And here's an interesting question.
Yep.
Let me just ask this, then we'll go right back to the phones. Is Andy Dalton the most talented quarterback Allen Robinson's ever played with? Most accomplished quarterback, maybe that's the best way to put it. He had freaking Blake Bortles, Mitchell Trubisky, and Nick Foles. So, Mellor, is he the most...
Well, listen, accomplished, I don't know what that... You know,
is he the best quarterback he's played with?
Maybe. I think you might... When all said and done... You may long for the days of Mitch Trubisky. Believe it or not. Like,
we'll see.
Wow. All right. Back to the phones. Let's go to Lyle. And that's where we find Ed. Hey, Ed, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I don't get a lot of things right, but I was so far ahead of the curve on the clown show that is Nagy and Pace. So I just want to do a lap around the field on that. Those guys are terrible. And I wish you were on an on air or like serious where we could really use salty language because it's just a joke. So I have a friend of mine whose dad was a Packer fan, even though he grew up in the Chicagoland area. Well, my friend has been a lifelong Packer fan because of his dad. His two sons are Packer fans because of my friend. Guess what my son's going to be? He turns four in a couple of weeks. I'm not pointing him towards Green Bay, but he's going to be a fan of whatever team he wants because the team that's in town isn't worth rooting for. It's a complete joke. I wish things could change in terms of, you know, boycotting and not going, but how long is their season ticket list because their stupid stadium is so small that they have a wait list for tickets? So as many people that are as mad as me, there are other suckers, I mean fans, that'll want to line up to buy those tickets. So when I say he can choose whatever team he wants, and I'll make it, it'll be a pebble in a pond. It's not going to make a rip of a difference until massive changes in ownership. And in my lifetime, ain't going to happen, guys. I'm 52. Our poor departed fan, Matt, who passed, not that much older than me.
Yeah.
I feel it. This is just desperation, and it's not worth following anymore. It's no longer going to be Bear Sunday, and I have my soon-to-be 4-year-old doing the, you know, super fans Bears. It's not going to be Bear Sunday anymore. It's going to be Football Sunday, and you can choose whoever he wants to root for.
Ed, have thanks, a good day, guys. Thanks, man. Have a good day. Keep the rig on the road.
That's what's happening, Cap. That's happening. You know, you don't want to pass that misery down to your kid. Let your kid decide.
I was having this discussion with Danny one day, and we were talking about Danny's getting this great marriage, and he said his wife got mad at him for whatever it was. It was, you know, some little thing. And I said, she cares. Because if she said, I don't care, whatever, do what you want. If they're apathetic, that's more dangerous than being a pissed off fan base. If people are truly on Sunday going, I ain't watching.
Oof.
That's a dangerous place to be, man.
By the way, your answer is Christian Hackenberg. That's the best quarterback that Al Robinson, and that was college at Penn State.
That's a great question. The Cap and Hood helpline is open, 312-332-3776. Plus, why Andy Dalton could be critical inside the Bears.